Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning. Thank you.
Wouldn't you agree that one of the best parts of Christmas is the music? Not only the poetry and the lyric, but even the orchestration and the instrumentation. So beautiful to show the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ, who has come to save us. The message of Christmas is encapsulated in our short text that we're going to read and look at together just for a few brief moments this morning. And our text is in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew writes, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray together. Lord God, living and present Spirit of Almighty God, in this moment as we open your word, would you by your sovereign power, would you by your marvelous grace convince us of this singular truth that your greatest glory and our greatest good are matched together in one indivisible union in Jesus Christ. Convince us right down in our souls that your perfect holiness and our greatest happiness are matched in Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Salvation is described like that, that Jesus is Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. All of the Christian Christmas hymns that we sang this morning, this text from Matthew chapter 1 that we just read this morning, they all talk about salvation. And salvation is one of those words that means something to us because we use it all the time. Maybe you even said this week that you saved some money while you were shopping for Christmas presents. There are a lot of different ways that we use the word saved, the verb save, or the noun salvation. What does it mean here in Matthew chapter 1? And what does the word salvation just mean to us? You use the word salvation in the world of entertainment. Every other movie that you go to is about salvation. There are aliens coming into the planet and they're going to destroy us and we need to be saved. Every movie from some form or another is about salvation. I saw an interview last week with Ben Affleck, and he plays Batman in the Justice League movie, I've often thought that I could analyze your spiritual and emotional state based on what actor you think of when you think of Batman. For me, it's Adam West. That's who was Batman when I was a kid. Pow, bop, bam, all of that. And that's who I think of. For both of my sons, they probably think of Christian Bale because that's who was Batman when they were in middle school. For little kids who are here right now, maybe if you're thinking Lego Batman, you think of the voice of Will Arnett. But each one of us has a different person when we think of Batman. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Ben Affleck, the current Batman, not the true Batman, I might add, they were interviewing him about this Justice League movie that cost $300 million to make and is going to gross something like $900 million at the box office. And this is what he said, interesting, about salvation. He said, we need salvation in 2017. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, from natural to man-made disasters, and this world is really scary. Part of the appeal of superhero movies is this wish fulfillment. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody who could save us from all of this? Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody who could save us from ourselves, save us from the consequences of our actions, and save us from evil? That's what he said about salvation. Then if you quit watching movies and you turn to the news channels, they will also talk about salvation. Whatever our country does or doesn't do about immigration and our borders is about rescue and salvation. Whatever our nation does or doesn't do about tax relief, this is all about salvation. Or you could stop watching the TV altogether and just sit and contemplate your own existence. And there's a lot of important thinking about salvation when you just think about your own psyche, your own annoyances with yourself, the way that other people have hurt you. There are all sorts of definitions about salvation in the realm of human psychology. And the thing of it is, the Bible is a pretty thick book. And if you read it the way that I've read it, salvation is actually used in each one of those ways in the Bible. There are lots of places in the Bible where God's people are about to be destroyed by alien invaders who are driving iron chariots and charging at them on war horses, and God sends salvation to his people. There are all sorts of places in the New Testament, especially, where someone is utterly conflicted, either by demonic possession or just by the overwhelming guilt and sorrow of human existence. And Jesus touches them and delivers them from that. The Bible uses salvation in a manifold number of ways. And even a Bible church like ours or a Christian church down through history understands salvation in all of those ways. Christian churches have always founded hospitals in an effort to save people from diseases and dying. Christian churches have long given or even supported orphanages to save people from loneliness and from fear. But you know, the one thing that Matthew 1 teaches us, especially Matthew 1 verse 21, when it uses the word salvation about Jesus, is that all of those other uses of the word salvation are legitimate. God really does want to help us in all of those ways. But all of those are downstream from the main meaning of salvation. All of those are secondary. They're not primary. When you look at Matthew 1, 21, it says, this is the primary meaning of salvation wrapped up in the very name of Jesus. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. His people, their sins. This is the primary meaning of salvation, and everything else flows from that. And look at our text a couple verses later in verse 23. It lists two miracles. It says there in Matthew 1, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. which means God with us. The prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7 is fulfilled there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and the prophecy is fulfilled through this inexplicable miracle that a virgin has a son. And yet, as amazing as that miracle is, I think there's a second miracle in verse 23 that's even bigger to me than that miracle of the virgin birth. And that is wrapped up in that word, Emmanuel, God with us. That Almighty God who created the world would come and dwell in the world with us. The incarnation seems to me to be the miracle beyond all other miracles. Those three words, God with us. God with us. You know, the Bible teaches a lot about God over us. God's the creator. God's the boss. God's the ruler. The whole world belongs to him. And so the Bible says a lot about God being over us. The Bible also says, and this is a comforting phrase, you heard it actually in a couple of the testimonies, those wonderful testimonies that we heard this morning. The Bible talks a lot about God being for us. That if we're struggling and hurting and suffering, God is for us to bring us through that difficulty. The Bible says many places in the Old Testament that God is for his people. If we're honest, the Bible also says in not just a couple of places that God is against us because we have sinned. And God, being a righteous and just and holy God, has to punish sin and deal with it rightly. The Bible says here in Matthew 1, verse 23, that God is with us, that he's here with us. Jesus Christ, and in particular his birth, shows us not only that God is above us, but that God is with us. So put Matthew 1:23 together with Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:23 that says that his name is Emmanuel, meaning God with us, and Matthew 1:21 saying, call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If you put it all together, what Matthew 1 is talking about is salvation being salvation from sin. Jesus will save his people from their sin. And he will do this by being God with us, God in human flesh with us to take our place. The Bible says that the penalty of sin is separation from God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Sin is a dominion and a slavery that brings with it separation from God and death. And so Jesus came to take that for us. What we could never do for ourselves, Jesus came to do for us. This is why he had to be born of a virgin, because Jesus had no sin nature. Jesus was perfect. And so because he never sinned and he had no sin nature, he was sinless. And he was born as one of us, yet without sin, so that he could live the life that we failed to live and die our death in our place. So the message that the angels brought to Joseph was this: don't be afraid, take Mary as your wife, and when you have this son, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The same message that Joseph received from the angels is the message that I'm endeavoring right now in this moment, ever so briefly, to convey to you. This is the message of Christmas and the good news and the greatest news of all, that hope has come in Jesus Christ. He lived, he died, he rose again to save us. The question remains, do you believe this? I'm not asking, and the New Testament isn't asking, that you have to do this or that with this message. It's a message that you have to hear and simply receive. Do you believe this? The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, not by human works. When the Bible says that we're saved by faith, not by works, what that means is faith, whatever it is not a human religious work. We're saved by faith, not by works. You see, faith is the realization and belief that another has done the work on my behalf. That's what faith is. It's believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that all of my hope is in His life and His death and His resurrection. That's the good news of the gospel. The Christian gospel is not some internal psychological state. The Christian gospel is not some message that has to be constantly brought up to date based on what's happening now. The Christian gospel is the person and work of Jesus Christ as proclaimed in the scriptures and believed on and rejoiced in by the church. This is the Christian gospel, the message that we share with you in song and the message that I share with you now in this short gospel sermon. Jesus Christ came to save His people from their sins. Jesus Christ came to take your place. So I call you this morning to turn from self and turn to Jesus, to turn from unbelief and doubt, to place your faith and your trust in Jesus, because Jesus Christ is God become man, the Son of God, co-equal with the Father in glory, majesty, holiness, and righteousness, who came into the world to take the sinner's place. This confident proclamation of this truth is the Christian gospel that we proclaim to you today. And we want to lay it out simply and clearly, because a whole lot of religious verbiosity is just useless. Not only do I want to lay it out clearly, I want to lay it out urgently. Because if I could just tell you one more thing, and that is today is the day of salvation. To say that you'll get right with Jesus later is to say, I'm all right with not being right with Jesus today. And that's not something that I ever want to hear you say. Today is the day of salvation. To say that you'll make things right with Jesus in the future is to befriend and settle in with being wrong in the present. And what will happen if your current ease with being in the wrong place with Jesus becomes something from which you cannot escape? Behold, today is the day of salvation. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Today is the day that we rejoice that Jesus Christ has come to save his people from their sins. This is the message of Christmas and the good news, the greatest news of all, that hope has come in Jesus Christ, that he lived and died and rose again to save us. I urge you to believe this, to place all of your hope in Jesus Christ, for if you do, you will have hope and you will have life that never ends. Let's pray. Lord God, in this moment as we pray, we ask that by the presence of your Holy Spirit, by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit of God, that we would be convinced, that each and every one of us would be convinced that your great and perfect glory and our great and eternal good are matched together in the union of Jesus Christ. Convince us of this wonderful truth and give us the hope of eternal life in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you.